If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
TheRightStuff.biz.
Did you know that TheRightStuff.biz is 100% listener funded? The only reason you're hearing this right now is because you're only getting half the show. There's so much content you're missing, and you'll never hear these ads again if you get behind the paywall at TheRightStuff.biz/paywall.
Yes. Hello and welcome back. It's a nice case of the Mondays. On the Daily Show, episode 1091.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
I hope you're all enjoying all you video consumers. Which you can be a video consumer if you're a paid subscriber by going to the rightstuff.biz/paywall. But I hope you're enjoying that. I'm wearing a brand new Old Navy everyday shirt, and I've been after owning about I own four of these now.
That's a nice shirt. I like that shirt.
I think the reason they call it the everyday shirt is you have to iron it every day. They are just like, oh, nice shirt. Have some wrinkles. Like, you could do
That's
nothing
to it.
That's
because they want to give it, like, that authentic worn look.
No, it's just wrinkles.
Which
it's just
means
like,
it's wrinkly.
You just look like, you just look
No, I know exactly
person.
The fabric that shirt is probably made of. I have shirts of that fabric, and it's like, yeah, it's hopeless.
It would be a nice shirt, but it's just like, he comes out of the wash, she comes out of the dryer with wrinkles on. I'm just like, how is this possible? Like, what are the dryer sheets and all the fabrics off? And like, what are they doing? Every
yeah,
other
what's
shirt.
What's it for? Why?
Like, why? Like, it makes my t-shirts look fine. You know, like Dave Koresh, he's not wrinkly. He's fine. But no, the everyday shirt, iron it every day. Anyway, so that is my opening joke. I also shilled right. for the paywall.
Yes.
Now I'm going to take notes on the program. We are now going to deliver you unique novelty hot takes that you won't hear anywhere else because everyone else.
We're going to do Slice of Life.
Everyone else is, but I do have Slice of
Life.
Oh,
Slice of Life.
I have Slice of Life.
Yeah, yeah, because yesterday was the first day of fall, so I decorated my house. I was up there on my roof, crawling around on my roof, and I drank one of these. See this thing right here?
Oh, God.
Monster That's Energy good. Drink?
No. I had one of these right. yesterday. I only drank this in the fall.
Oh, you're a
spice.
Girl.
You literally had a,
had a pumpkin
ale.
Oh, my God. It was delicious. God. So fucking good.
Why don't you just drink a nice
I saw there was a thing.
Pumpkin
Why
ale.
Are we doing product placement shots when we're not even getting paid from this company? Like, what is
it's
going
just
on?
My,
like,
my
not
genuine,
even advertising.
It's my genuine appreciation for the product.
I drank
that's
Sam Adams.
That's silly. Like, they should be giving us money to do this.
I drank Sam Adams because I love Jewish swill.
Well, they should just be giving me pumpkin ale.
Like, I like Pfizer shots and Jewish beer. That's all I want out of life.
They could even just give us, like, free versions of their product.
An Oktoberfest booster.
So I saw a thing on social media where they were saying, like, would you take, like, pumpkin spice over tacos? And there's, like, all these fags saying, yeah, tacos are better. I'm like, no, I would never eat tacos again. I don't like tacos. I don't like Mexican food. Mexican food is trash.
What, a taco ale? That sounds
horrible. No, the food. Like comparing the pumpkin spice, the flavor, you know. Cause
but do you just eat, you don't just eat, like, a pile of pumpkin spice. It's
right,
eating
as
something
well.
Else.
It's like they just pile it onto something else you're having, and it's just like, oh, now that tastes like everything else this season.
Well, here's my thing. I don't have to choose.
It's true. You are not free to choose.
Fuck choice. I fail to understand why my generation and people younger than me are so obsessed with Mexican food. Like, what is up with this?
What's the obsession? It's just food. I just eat it.
I think it's them being peasants, and they like peasant food.
Well, everybody's a peasant. You're a fucking peasant.
Pumpkin spice isn't?
Pumpkin spice? No, pumpkin
Anything
spice
Anything that's mass
is
produced is effectively peasant food. I mean, like,
everything is peasant food, because everyone's not a who's not a peasant in this world? Who's not a fucking peasant?
It's silly, like...
Like, isn't this what the whole problem is? Like, everyone's a peasant, but everyone, but like, Republicans expect you to
I really
become
don't give a shit if people
magical,
like, tacos,
like industrial
like
captains of industry,
like
and, like, Democrats expect you to be, like, homeless and kind of just, like, you're just in the middle. Like, you have no idea what the fuck is going on because you're a peasant.
Taco and cheeseburger
you shouldn't have
identical
to, like,
ingredients.
The reason you have
whatever.
To struggle, the reason you have to struggle is because no one is above your peasant station who cares about you. that just wants to provide a life for themselves and you. That's the whole fucking problem with this whole shit. Everyone's a peasant, but no one either wants to admit that they're a peasant, and nobody that's in charge wants to do anything for the peasant. They're like, oh, let's do stuff for these Jews instead. Let's do something for these niggers.
They see the peasant as a resource to extract value from.
Worse than that, a resource right. You would want to preserve and conserve. Like the fucking this ruling class
peasants
sees the peasantry.
Been that. Yeah.
They see this peasantry as just like a thing you can like slaughter and abuse for fun, and then get more somewhere else. You know.
Well, but it's not even just the. It's more than that, though. It's a essentially, you know, Jews who run our system. They basically see whites as their only potential competitors, and historically, the only people who have kept them down and competed with them, and so. They're getting it's both revenge and also just from their perspective, like good management. The problem is several factors are getting ahead of them.
I wish I could be a peasant.
I don't think they're actually going to be able to do this, although I don't necessarily know how this is all going to turn out. But if we wanted to talk about the economy.
Well, no, we don't yet. We want to talk about slices of life. Speaking of peasants.
Okay, so what is actually
speaking of peasantry?
Of
speaking of peasantry, McNabb, I told you. Briefly and privately, like I went to a high school football game on Friday.
Oh, so did I.
Oh, you did. Oh, I thought you just went to one despite me. You just took pictures of the school buses and left, right? That was what I saw.
Yeah, because it was slammed. It was fucking slammed. It was West Virginia versus the Virginia team, and it looked like a high speed downtown city in my area. Like there was a traffic jam, a fucking traffic jam. Like, what the fuck is this shit? In my tiny, quaint little area, piles and piles of cars, nowhere to park, some actual security, because I guess people are trying to sneak into the game, and those people being me. But yeah, it was fucking nuts.
So I think that's an amazing piece of culture. Everyone can get together and go watch a football game between two rival schools.
You want to know why they...
I think that's good stuff. You seem to have a problem with it. Like, you said that it was like a replacement for culture. I tend to somewhat disagree. I mean, I think this is a thing that people can get together and do. You sort of organize. You have like competitive sports leagues, and
it's for peasants.
It's
peasant stuff.
It is peasant activity, though.
Yeah,
right. You're doing it.
I think it's
well. No, I show up on my bike in my spandex, and then I just sort of have a dour expression on my face and sneer at them.
Yeah, I showed up. Well, I had exactly what I was wearing on Friday's show when I showed up.
Well, honestly,
I made the mistake, though, that I went and I planted my ass in the visitors section. So I got a full, like, dose of the reason why this stuff is just toxic and needs to be stopped. Because I sat, like, a few feet away from some of the worst, like, traveling away team football dads that it's just like, oh, my God. It's like, I'm like, what do you got money on this game? Are these and then like they're really obnoxious yelling, like first of all it's like, all right, we're in the bleachers, no one can hear what you're yelling at them, the referees cannot hear you no matter how dissatisfied you are with their call, they can hear like like in the background, they don't know what you're saying. The players don't know what you're saying. No, the only people that can hear you is me, and it's like, you're an asshole and I'm an asshole, right? And I'm sitting here and I'm considering, like, I should fight this grown man, not because I care about the game, but because this, I just find this like an intolerable breach of the public peace that this man is yelling at the referees because, and in one case he was correct to yell at the referees because they did make a mistake, but it's like, it's a fucking high school football game. And the only reason that you're crying, but this wasn't healthy. This was like a drunken Philadelphia Eagles fan. He's literally about to throw a beer at somebody. Thank God they didn't have any beer at this thing. At first I was mad. I was like, oh man, high school football. I mean, they don't have beer. It's just like
a lot of commentary about sports dads taking it too far in recent years. Like,
this was horrible. This was horrible. I can't even, like, they're yelling for flags. Like they're yelling that, like, there's a very tense, like, fourth and one situation. And apparently one of the linemen on the offense moved. He moved! He moved! On top of their lungs screaming, he moved. And I'm just like, and they didn't throw the flag. And I'm just like, I'm like fucking cry about it, nigger. And you're only crying
He's
because
a fucking high school student.
And it's like, you're only crying because it's the other team and because you're losing. You're not like crying because you want the sanctity of the game preserved, that you want, like, ethics high school football officiating. You just want to win. And it's like, and I understand that, like, your kid's out there. And your kid's probably not talented enough to play college, let alone
sucks,
he's not. Honestly. Well, he's good enough to play high school football. So these are probably the only, like, 10 games he's ever going to play as a starter on a squad You know what I mean? Like, this is probably it for you.
Right.
And so you want them to win every single one, but, like, holy shit, some of us really don't care that much and just want to, like, enjoy the thing for what it is, and you're making that impossible. But, oh, my God, yeah. These guys scream at the referees.
I blame pro sports for this and the way they cover it. Like, the way they cover football, where you dissect every play after the fact with replays and, you know what I mean? Like, every play in football is, like, dissected after they do it, right? They dump balls down. They keep playing. I mean, unless it's like, you know, they didn't get a timeout or whatever, then they keep going. But you get, like, people that watch this shit get invested in, like, minute analysis of, like, every part of the line. Sure. And they draw the circles and shit on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then they go to a high school game and they're doing that same shit. It's like, bro, these are fucking 16-year-olds. Yeah, the offensive lineman moved. Fucking relax.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Like,
I blame capitalist realism for this, because anytime you have a conversation with somebody about the institution of either high school football or college football, all they will tell you is, yeah, but it brings in so much money. It brings in so much money, you know, for this. Yeah. It makes a lot of money.
I don't even care about that. I just want to. I like watching football. Football is a great game. I love all the stupid rules and all the dumb shit you have to do. But it's like, I don't want to listen to these assholes. You know, like, and watching, like, so I'm sitting there at this game. There's no niggers at this game. It's like, it's
Did
too...
they say that about high school football?
That's surprising that you didn't see any niggers.
No, there's no... because
game. It's a Zoomer nigger every time.
No, because
every
these time. Are, I think, actually, I'm lying. I think there was one nigger on the away team, and it was just a bunch of white kids playing football. And it's like, it was a very good game. It was an exciting game, regardless of the morons screaming at it. So it goes to prove, like, you don't have to have niggers to play football. You can play. You don't have to have.
No, you never need niggers.
You don't have to have roided out, performance enhanced, like, scientifically working out, like, crazy fucking. I don't even know how to describe it, like, super athletes to play either. It can still be an exciting, enjoyable game. So every premise that, like, pro football and college football is built on, you can just get rid of it, and we can have a. We can just have a white, like, casual Joe Rogan style football league. It'll be great, you know. Without that, because the head injuries come from, like, the super athletes that run into each other at such velocities that they'll kill each other.
Like you, I also sit in the visitor seating. That is my silent protest of the home team. It's like, no matter who they're playing, just showing up there cheering their rivals.
Apparently, in the home bleachers, it's a good thing I wasn't over there. Like, kids were, like, throwing potato chips and making a ruckus. So I think that would have been more annoying than, like, the away dads that are, like, really super pumped. That their kid,
but yeah, I'll be honest with you. I find though the away team guy probably is going to be the more obnoxious.
Well, he traveled
because he
traveled
he
way
put
out of his
effort
way
into getting there.
So yes, because he didn't have to just like step out of his house.
Yeah,
no, so, he has to drive home an hour after the game's over.
Yeah,
so it's like, so these are obviously like team, but it's just like, that's not an excuse to be so antisocial.
Well, they're probably just parents, you know. Kids are in the game.
I would assume like so. I mean, I would assume I would assume they're not just like alumni.
That would be even more.
That would
pathetic
be so
if
pathetic.
You, like, didn't have a kid playing and you traveled to the game. Then it's like, bro, honestly,
I don't know. It's just
what are you doing?
Like, does it make you like a booster or something?
Yeah, that's usually what it is. You're a booster, right? But the cool thing about it was like the marching bands are really good. Like these, like the kids in the bands were like better than the football teams, which was pretty cool. I'm too
distracted by how fat people are in the bands these days.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like,
too.
Oh my God.
Everyone's fat.
There was quite the hand beast in the color guard. I was like, oof, that's a lot of color on that one. That's
a lot of uniform material. Yeah, everyone's fat, dude.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. Like, there's certain things about America. Like, here's the thing.
Speaking of which,
if
I had
you're
a hot
gonna
dog.
Have, like, Alex. If your like particular aristocratic sensibilities are just going to be perpetually offended everywhere you go.
Yeah, but
like,
the thing is, I'm old enough to remember when they weren't fat. I saw it happen in front of my face.
So am I. Yeah, I know.
Actually, the kids that weren't fat were all on the football team.
Right.
That's basically how it shakes out.
Some of them were fat.
That's true.
The O-linemen weren't fat. There was a couple
of fat offensive line. The center was so the center was so fat. Like his jersey only came to here, and he had this big giant like white undershirt that went down to his knees.
It's like, he moved. No, how could he? He can't. What are you talking about? He didn't move. He can barely move.
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
He fell over.
He's off balance. He tipped.
But see, I remember back when being fat was unusual. Where you're like, that's a fat girl.
Yeah, we'd be like, hey, look how fat this kid is. You better get him to play center. You know?
I remember when there was like one fat kid.
Yeah, and he'd be center.
He was like the fat kid.
He's gonna be center on the football team. He's gonna be great. Or if he's more, or if he's an aggressive fat guy, he'll be nose tackle. He'll play defense, or he'll play Iron Man ball. Both sides.
Typically, like there was like a fat kid. Like there was a couple that I remember from my high school. There's like a fat kid.
So that game was better than
she's the normal size girl. She's the normal size girl now, and everybody else is just enormous.
So that high school game was better than any NFL game I saw yesterday. That was pretty fun. It was a lot of fun. There were no niggers at it. There was no commercials. It was good stuff.
What about the music? What kind of music did they have?
Actually, the marching bands both played a bunch of Journey songs, which was weird.
They've done that here. I've seen them do that here, too.
Yeah, they're doing that. That's what they do.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen them play some
well, drum. For them, it's old. For them, that's like ancient.
So in my head, right? I'm thinking I'm like singing the GameStop stock song that I never did. GameStop is mooning. It was pretty funny. I never did that, so I got to laugh all to myself. And then they were.
Speaking of GameStop.
Then I was singing my song that they did. What was that? What was that Journey song I did? Someday ice will find you, so I get to have a chuckle.
That was
myself,
great. That was a much better one to have done. But it's too bad that it's still the Trump stuff because it was fucking awesome.
Oh, the dude that made me like this really like artistic like slideshow video of border stuff and Trump stuff at the time got banned from YouTube instantly when it went up. It was so good. I wish that was still around. Sad. The Trump still made it. It was a really good material back then. But what are you gonna do? Anyway, enough of this peasantry.
Anyway, I actually wanted to, speaking of GameStonk and sports, this brings me to Dave Portnoy.
Oh, I saw a headline about him this morning.
Oh, he was doing something obnoxious, but I skipped over it,
I fucking hate that Jew, but here's what's funny. So he was doing some, like, pizza fest in New York City this weekend.
Okay.
And it was, like, all, like, a bunch of pizzerias went there to like have their pizza there, and people went to like eat. It was like the One Bite Pizza Fest. Okay, whatever. I'm assuming it's just some pizza festival. People bring pizza, people go and they eat pizza. That's what it is, right? He actually got a few thousand people out to do it. And the pizza places went and they considered it to be good advertising for their store, just like his gimmick where he goes around pretending like he's some kind of authentic New York Italian type person, and he tastes pizzas from around New York. Like, the reason I hate this guy is he's a rich Jew pretending to be something he's not, which is like a working class New Yorker, and I hate that aesthetic almost more than anything. Like, the rich Jew pretending to be a working class New Yorker is one of the most obnoxious types. Unfortunately, though, sometimes people buy into it. But also, there was an attempt, because Dave Portnoy, of course, is also a sex predator and has multiple allegations that never went anywhere because he's Jewish, of being a sex predator and also of being like abusive, like doing stuff like biting and whipping women without consent, like during sex, and being really weird. And of course, that's all true because he's Jewish. That he abuses people, he's a predator, he's a rapist. Like, I'm sure all of these things are true, right? They just, you know, because he's Jewish, he's able to get away with it. But what's so annoying, though, is so the Washington Post tried to like shut down his pizza festival. And they did it because they're annoyed. And the funny thing is, if you look at the names of the Washington Post reporters, they're libtards. They're not Jewish. There's like two libtards were like calling around to pizza places, and the pizza places were telling them to fuck off. And they got like increasingly agitated. And all this did was feed Dave Portnoy's thing. It basically fed his popularity, and it made the Pizza Fest like more popular, and it made him more popular because now he's doing the round on talk shows talking about, they just kept calling and calling these pizza places trying to shut it down. And some of the pizza place owners were like sending him the audio of the calls, and like, it was a mess. And it was obvious that it was just too. And it shows you, like, this shows you right here. I want this to be an abject lesson to people. People actually hate that type of behavior. So when it's targeted at somebody who isn't someone that Jews want to conspire to cancel, because look, if they had done it, like, if someone else had done that and the Jews actually wanted it canceled, there would have been other consequences that they tried to impose other than, like, journalists. Right. There would have been some inquiries from their financial institution. You know what I mean? And then they would have said, oh, no, whoa, 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 hey, whoa, no, You know?
Who is this ugly fucking bitch that I'm looking at here?
What's that? What are you looking at here?
I don't know. I'm looking
at Russell Brand stuff too. Like there's been allegations against this guy for a long, long time. So are conservatives like rallying behind David Portnoy yet?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
There's millionaire sex pest is in trouble. Oh boy, let me lock shields. 100%.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see who this woman is. I don't want to insult her.
So they're literally
before I see
saying,
what she actually thinks.
So the Washington Post says Dave Portnoy's pizza festival brings buzz and backlash for pizza. No, it doesn't. There's no backlash. And I'm not trying to stick up for Portnoy. I fucking hate that obnoxious kike. But, like, now the whole thing is Fox News is, like, reveling in how the Washington Post hit piece fails to cancel Portnoy's pizza festival. I'm telling you, Washington Post and the stupid Tim Carman and Emily Heil, I'm telling you, there will be zero. There will be absolutely zero backlash for any one of these pizzerias participating in Portnoy's festival. What is wrong with you?
This is the Jewish. I don't know if she's Jewish or not. I assume she is. This is the food journalist from Washington Post who did the hit piece and whatnot. I guess.
Why are her eyeballs so far apart?
Is that like fetal alcohol? Like, she's got walleye.
Why is her mouth so cute? She looks like a fish.
Is she Jewish or just ugly? I don't fucking know, but whatever.
Okay, I got a link you're probably going to hate. It's a Fox News link, and it's got David Portnoy firing back.
He's firing back. Oh, he's just.
I don't really want to watch it. My point is that, like.
Journalism has become activism. Fuck you, kike.
Well, you brought it up.
Journalism has become activism. It's like, yeah, tell me about it, pal. How are those rape charges going?
Right, so I'm reading the Washington Post piece right here, yeah. And they're talking about Portnoy has become super influential in the pizza world because he does these one-bite reviews where he goes around and then he rates slices and he puts it on his show. What? And pizzerias really want a good review from him, and they don't want a bad review from him, and they all want to participate in his festival. And no one cares about, frankly, this is the facts, no one really cares about these sex pest allegations, and most people don't even know about them. And the fact that, like, it is like, again, I'm really angry that dumb libtards just handed this massive W to this kike. That's what annoys me.
I'm sort of mad that institutionally, like, you just having a platform, an opinion on something means that you have various people flocking to you. Like, could you please review my product?
That's the whole influencer economy, which is garbage too.
Which is trash. It's like you're a fucking influencer. You don't actually understand what would make a good pizza.
The other thing I would say though to these pizzerias is like, it doesn't. Anybody can know what makes a good pizza. It's whether you like it or not. Okay, but the thing is that. It's not what, like, there's some like special secret that like a pizza connoisseur would have that somebody else wouldn't have.
There's things called food critics that exist. You would think that the opinion of a food critic would be better than some fucking Jew.
Well, food critics are always like,
who probably
food critics
eats
are
Doritos.
All Jews anyway.
They're all like notorious for just being out of touch and not knowing
what's
good.
They're literally always panned as being like complete fucking like up their own ass. Like,
man, I should become a food critic.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a food critic.
The problem here the idea that
I guess
like,
that
a guy
qualifies
with,
you if you don't like anything.
I want to critique barbecue though.
I mean, the problem here is not the idea that a guy
barely food
like goes and says I like this pizza or I don't like it, and like people get that, because again the other thing is it doesn't really matter. Like, there could have been pizzerias that didn't participate in his pizza fest, and that wouldn't matter either. Right, like it just doesn't actually matter because pizza will go to their local pizzeria. That's
right.
It. You go to the one close to you.
Like instinctively, I hate this idea that some Jew just gets to throw a fest.
I hate it too. But like, this is also the problem. Is I'm not even like the issue is also the way it's like a. It's like a very stupid, and I suspect it's like, remember when what's her face? that dumb broad, that dumb liberal reporter woman went to Libs of TikTok's house. This reminds me of
It's like, you know, sweetie, you don't understand how it works.
Right. It's like libtard journalists that have political grudges against these people because they're on the right side of the official narrative in the country, the official right-left spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
They're simply trying to go after them for that, not realizing that they're Jewish and they're immune. And a result, what they do is they hand the Kike a massive boost in popularity and credibility.
Yeah, because it's like SPLC has that problem. HuffPo has that problem.
Right. This is another one of these instances. So, look, I'm sure Portnoy, like, bites women and rapes them and stuff. Like, that's probably all true, right? Now, what's also funny is a Jew, Joe Rosenthal, is a Minnesota-based mathematician, has positioned himself as the conscience of the food restaurant industries, been leading the charge against those involved with Portnoy's festival. He's posted regularly on his Instagram account, writing that pizzeria's influencers and trade publication are showing that Portnoy can continue his violent misogyny, and they will continue to support him. That is like, I'm sorry, though. The thing is, like, if you have like a dirtbag, like a kind of a dirtbag radio host style, like Portnoy styles himself, it's kind of in the tradition, unfortunately, of Opie and Anthony, or like, you know what I mean? Like, he's doing like the dirtbag conservative Stern. Or the dirtbag sports fan. And he's out there reviewing like pizza, and pizza shops want his endorsement, saying like there's allegations of sexual misconduct. Like, this, no one's going to.
Yeah,
no one's gonna change their mind.
Conservatives just lap that shit up. Like, oh, let's see, dirtbag. Slightly, he like throws them a couple little bones here and there for their conservatism, right? Right wing tendencies, and he's a millionaire. So,
well, he also was doing the I'm the face of like the underrepresented Wall Street investor. You know, during Wall Street Bets, he was out there leading the charge on that, and then he was also going after. Remember that Robinhood, that app that wasn't letting people buy game stonks. Like, they stopped letting – they basically – because they were worried there was, like, literal SEC violations, which there probably fucking were.
Yeah. I mean, it's –
but,
it's,
of course,
like,
yeah.
It's just like how Russell Brand was throwing people bones on COVID. Like, I don't think these COVID lockdowns were a good idea. And now he's got all these conservative defenders.
Russell Brand was throwing more than bones. Russell Brand was full on, like, there's nanobots in the vaccine. Like, he was doing all that kind of
shit. He's a retard.
Like, he was going way overboard. Yeah.
And so he's famous, has money. He's aligned with you politically. So, of course, we're just going to look the other way whenever he gets in.
Well, they're not just looking the other way.
You actually carry water for him.
What they're doing is using that as a way to go after so-called cancel culture. And let's also be honest, though, they're not entirely wrong. Because while I do think that Russell Brand probably is a sex predator, and probably, you know, I don't know for sure, just to make sure I don't get, you know, no slander here.
Yeah, I mean, this is
– let me say this. I find the allegations against Russell Brand credible, just like I find the allegations against Dave Portnoy credible. However, it's also true. That, I mean, when Ben Shapiro made this point, it was obnoxious, but he was right. It's true that Russell Brand was named like Shagger of the Year, like by some stupid fucking tabloids in Great Britain back when he was just a big fucking libtard, right?
Yeah,
so they're actually going after
him. They'll overlook all kinds of shit too. Yeah.
So there's
like,
well,
nobody has clean hands here. Yeah.
The amount of like celebrities in the libtard sphere who are probably raping people.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoa on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks. Or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
People and sexually abusing people, it's huge. It's massive. I mean, look, Jewish Hollywood is basically a rape fest.
Mm.
You know, it's basically, it's like pedophile rape fest. It's just, it really is. Like,
maybe that's what the strike's really about.
Constantly. And so the thing is,
pedophile rape fest 3D.
But what's funny is that, you know, because of his retard stance on COVID, yeah, conservatives came out to defend Russell Brand purely for politics without thinking. Let's be honest. Like, yes, this is definitely politically motivated, but also he's probably guilty. Like, that's my position, which is, I mean, like,
about the most sensible thing.
And
you
therefore,
ever
I'm
say
not going to even wait.
Is like, well,
it.
We got to have due process. We can't just throw somebody under the bus until they've had due process. That's about the only thing you could really go with here is do a proceduralism.
Well, I also don't think that Russell Brand's actually going to get in any trouble.
He probably won't. Yeah. It's probably not going to be like the other guy that's going away for 30 years.
Well, Dave Portnoy, I don't believe, has gotten in any trouble. I'm not sure.
No, he's talking about Masterson.
What's that?
He's talking about Danny
Masterson. Who they have.
Well, there was obvious, whether he's guilty or not, too, there was obviously political motivation to go after him, too. Because
that case,
like,
I thought was a little more unusual because I just had not heard about Danny Masterson in ages.
I don't know anything about
it. And then suddenly he's everywhere. And I'm like, what? This guy from that 70s show? Like,
well, it's also true. I mean, allegations of rape from 20 years ago with no physical evidence, and he goes away for 30 years. When's the last time that happened to a fucking kike?
Right. Anybody. Well, I just wonder,
it
like,
just doesn't.
I just wonder, like, what kind of smokescreen is without any physical evidence? Like, that's kind of a coded, like, wine gnat narrative that goes out there. Like, I don't know. I didn't look into it, and I don't really want
well,
to.
Well, the problem is, though, I mean, but here's the thing, though. There is actually, now this is kind of going back to Manosphere stuff. There's actually an issue of, because does anybody think, for example, that, you know, like, these women that are like, Donald Trump groped me, like, 20 years ago. Like, come on. You know, it's like, at some point, you know, when you're doing that, after all of these years, even if it was true, it's like you're obviously, it's obviously a different kind of a motivation. And it's not purely that it's just, like, yeah, I'm actually mad about sexual abuse, right? Like, sexual abuse allegations are almost always have a different, some other agenda behind them. And people have complained for a long time. Manosphere people have complained for a long time, not completely without justice, that oftentimes women regret sex and then do the rape thing, though I would question if there's definitely evidence of that, but certainly it's something that could happen. And taking – you can't actually just take somebody's word if all they do is say, yep, this thing happened 20 years ago. You can't just – there's no reason to just automatically believe anybody saying that. It's just –
My thing with that is, like, usually the types of people are going to fall victim to it. It's not going to be like Joe Blow. It's not going to be like some regular dude. It's going
well,
to
in the case
money,
of Masterson,
resources,
this was like a,
fame.
The other thing with Masterson is there was an angle with the Church of Scientology because he's a Scientologist. And the women that complained against him were Scientologists. So, like, there's other shit there, too, right? Because also frankly, kikes hate Scientology.
Yeah, because it's a wannabe version of, like, Judaism.
Right.
It's
well,
like, we're going to do the same thing.
Well, Scientology is basically a way for non-Jewish people in Hollywood to have a place to network.
Yeah, my favorite thing and is, this so, is black guy years ago said to me, was like, if you want to make it in Hollywood, you got to be either Jewish, gay, or a Scientologist. I was like, wow, that's based. Astute observation, my Negro friend. But yeah, I don't know about, like, the talking about women coming out and getting people with these sort of, like, murky rape accusations. So the only people I see this really happening to tend to be folks that are very rich, famous. You know, they've got some sort of resource, right? Like, they kind of have a target on them anyway. Like, I don't think you can really extrapolate that onto the plight of, like, the average man. I don't know the average man faces this situation as frequently as these people do.
No. I think that there was a time when there were people that, but yes, generally speaking, this, what's funny is how the public sex scandal has become a way to get the public invested in this debate when, like, I don't know if this actually happens all, like, does it happen to the average guy that he has, like, a messy sex encounter with a woman at college, like, they're both drunk and she feels dumb the next day and accuses him of rape? Does this happen a lot? I don't know. Maybe it does.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. You know, so there's a claim that does. Like, that's a claim from the Manosphere that this is a common occurrence. And surely it has happened. I mean, we covered that what's that kid named? Brock, what's his face?
There was Turner. That, and there
where
was
they went after that guy the, because
Brock Turner was
the lacrosse team. Both drunk.
Yeah, the Duke lacrosse team is the one that I think we remember.
Well, that one was completely
fake. That was
fake.
Objectively just false, though. Like, that was false. Was, a race angle on
bullshit.
That.
Yep.
And I also believe that race plays a part in these things. The going after that kid, Brock, I forget, not Brock Lesnar. I forget his name. Brock, what's his name? It was the finger banging kid.
It was Eddie, you know? Brock.
No, it wasn't Eddie Brock. It was the finger bang kid who, you know, he and the girl were both drunk.
Brock Turner. They're passed
out back of a frat party.
Yeah, they're passed out behind a dumpster or something and some faggot came and along. It's like, oh my God, a rape! It was like, wow,
right.
Thanks, pal. That was nice of you to ruin this guy's life.
They also were making that all about his white privilege. There was a definite race angle to it, how it was like he did this. In other words, the narrative put out there
there were several like nigger rape cases going around at the time. There were like football niggas were raping girls at parties, and they found those were met with controversy, and there were cases going on, and people were claiming that it was racism against the system. So they find Brock Turner is like, oh, we found a white athlete who we could lie about like being a rapist, and we can make sure we hang him to try to like even the racial score. And that's sort of what happened there. It's like, we're gonna do this.
I don't think he was an athlete, dude.
Yeah, he was a swimmer.
Even an athlete. He was a swimmer. Just a slub.
No, he's a swimmer.
He was an athlete. He was? Oh, okay.
He was some kind of athlete. He was in, might not have been swimming, but he was in one of those kinds of sports that no one really gives a shit.
But yeah, like that's the other thing. No one
cares
about
that.
But right?
his entire path to anything of notoriety in that sport was like just closed off. Like, he lost all his scholarship stuff. Even though I don't even think he was found guilty. I don't remember, but he just lost all of his.
Oh yeah, he was.
Was he? I remember him losing all his school shit, like all of his stuff that was going on there. But it was ridiculous because it was like you just had two wasted kids behind a dumpster finger banging each other, and that was the end of his life. That was the end of his professional life. I don't even know what the kid's up to, though. Poor guy.
No. There was hold on a second.
But like, in the meanwhile, you had like that. This was the same time there was an Ohio high school football team that they just gangbanged some broad, and they were trying to, you know, and the commentary there was about sports privileges, and I'm just like, I mean, maybe you want to talk about sports privileges, or is it because these are niggers? Is obviously the sports niggers covering up, or the sports privilege covering up for like the niggerishness of this crime. And that was all kind of the same. And then, right, you could talk about if you tried to like move into the racial angle, it's like, oh, what about Brock Turner, though? And it's like,
yeah.
If you don't know any details
of
the case.
The other thing about this is that there was also a big claim that he got too light of a sentence.
Yeah.
That
was what, it was so something, that was what it was about. Like, he didn't really, he got off kind of easy, but, you know, legally, but he lost all of his school-related and athletics-related shit. They ruined his life.
Yeah.
You know, but he did. Yes. He didn't. I don't think he went to jail.
And there's been a book. The woman who was supposedly the victim has, like, published.
How can you write a book when you don't remember? You're fucking blasted.
Well, that's what's so funny. Yeah. The evidence against him, I mean, dude, whatever. The evidence against him was DNA found on his finger.
Wow.
And that was it. And then the girl said, like, I woke up with, like, blood on my hands and elbows. It's like, right, because you're lying on the ground.
Yeah, because you fell down because you're a drunk.
You fell on the ground
because you're a typical college girl.
Yeah, because you're a white girl drunk.
Oof.
But whatever.
That's hateful. I would never say that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a thing. Yeah, I hate to say it. But that's a thing that people say. But again, so the point here is that
the thing is this.
People get real upset and opinionated about these issues. But there is a political aspect to it. Like, that's the reason that these things come out. Like, with Brock Turner, they were making it about his white privilege. They're basically making his supposed light sentence for, frankly, even though the jury convicted, I'm guessing the light sentence was because they were like, yeah, like, this is, you know.
Well, I mean, there seems to be a thing where you just take morality and just kind of weaponize it and leverage it against particular targets.
Right.
They're not
right.
really so much depending on the idea that there's like a general set of moral sensibilities. People get very mad whenever someone transgresses those.
Well, that's actually what I mean. Some people took what Stryker was saying the wrong way, but what his point was he's like, what are the rules in America? Like, what are the rules? Like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be like?
The problem was like I moral... know what the rules are. I saw that post. Like, lad culture.
Well,
I mean, I've been...
Whatever, but I'm not going to re-debate that, but what I didn't even know, I don't even know what you're... But I'm saying, what we were on our show, what we were talking about is how there's, like, moral Puritanism is always only a targeted political attack. Like, it's not for its own sake. So when you do the moral Puritanism, like, remember, the people doing the moral Puritanism are ignoring and covering up the two faggot dads in San Francisco that had a rape dungeon in their mansion. Just always remember that. The people trying to weaponize morality are the ones that will never make a scandal out of a faggot case and will always cover that shit up. So just that's, that, you know, so what is the point in America? Where are we? I mean, is rape wrong or not? What do you tell me?
Yeah, rape's wrong.
Well, obviously it's wrong. But the thing is that, you know, and I'm not, there's no excusing it if someone's actually
right. Well,
a rapist.
I mean, that's kind of the thing. It's like there are people who do have general moral sensibilities. And of course, the way that this is used in the media and used in this fucking disgusting system we have, it's not really about right and wrong. But
no, it's never about that. There's always some other reason. And like, even if you really thought what Brock Turner did was like beyond the pale, if you were super offended by that, you can't deny that this was being used as a way to attack white men as like the only rapists, while again, black athletes are raping cheerleaders and getting away with it constantly because that's allowed. So there you go.
I mean, now that being said, I don't feel any reason to go and defend somebody like, I don't know who's we were to Russell Brand. Like,
I'm not going to defend Russell Brand because I can acknowledge that they're obviously going after him because he transgressed some like a political line that they didn't like. But the funny thing is, because it was in gate, because this is the thing, because that transgression was purely on something like COVID, something dumb, like he probably won't face any consequences. Just like Dave Portnoy. Well, one, he's Jewish, so he won't face consequences. And the people that are going after him are purely libtards. And I'm sure Dave Portnoy is a sex predator. So the point is, like, this system, it doesn't have – is not, like, a valid, like, moral arbiter. Like, the Jewish press is not a valid moral arbiter. And, you know, posing as such is like, as sickening as almost anything, them posing as some kind of moral arbiter.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, which is why I'm sort of categorically rejecting the entire system. And
well, that's also why I think that people shouldn't get invested in these kind of public scandals on that level, because it's like, if you do, you're kind of like, I mean, you know, whether Danny Masterson is innocent or not, honestly, I don't know because I didn't look into it. But the idea that maybe he's innocent, I don't find that like inherently offensive. Maybe he is. I don't know. But, you know, maybe he is being set up politically.
I just
sort
of perceive that as being like some kind of tabloid red meat thing they were passing around.
Yeah,
I don't.
Right.
I didn't see like any political angle there. Everybody's accused him as a Scientologist. It's like, well, okay, I guess this is what they're doing now is they're stirring this up. Like, look at this 70s show actor. Got
what
a
if
bunch
he just,
of trouble.
What if he just raped some girls?
What if he didn't, I mean,
how am I supposed to
if
know?
He didn't, would that be terrible? I mean, would that be something? Is it possible that he could have not done it? I don't know.
I doubt it. He's a Hollywood actor. He's going to use his fucking fame to, like, get sex and get laid.
It did involve Scientologists.
No, but they were everybody involved was Scientologists.
So there could
that's
be
another angle
there.
Here, so,
they're
yeah.
definitely tourists for it.
I don't know.
Look, I'm just saying, it's not something that I think it's like...
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
Worth getting invested
well,
in.
You're talking about you're bringing it up on the show for a reason.
Well, you guys brought it up. I didn't bring it up.
Either way,
who brought that up? You meant Alex brought it up. You came to like defend Stryker's like the stupid statement he made about it last week. What are the rules in America?
Boy, what are they?
What are the rules in America? I've been hearing about consent and date rape since before I was old enough to be taught about that. The rules are pretty clear.
But they don't apply, obviously, to Jews, to blacks.
Yeah, no, I never got any messaging.
They don't apply to faggots.
I never got any messaging about that.
Yeah.
The message I got was you better be careful about that sort of thing, or you could get your entire life destroyed. Mm-hmm. So don't transgress those boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't get a messaging pretty, about it, but well,
pretty clear. Now, as far as how the system treats various transgressors, sure, that's
well. It's obvious. Story. It's
that's
obvious.
A whole other story, but yeah, there's definitely like. Some
I don't think the point needs to be made that these things will not like consequences will not accrue to people if they are the right kind of person.
Yeah,
well, that is like that's pretty obvious to people.
So, David Portnoy is now like the new conservative icon, I guess. Like they're rallying to his cause that he's been unjustly.
One thing I know about America is it under the yoke of moral puritanism? We have to slow down. We have to slow down these religious ideologues that are running this country.
Hold on a second.
The moral
hold
puritanism
second,
is
though.
Out of control.
Well, hold on
I've
a
never
second,
felt
though.
So constrained morally. Is. I feel like I have no freedom. I can't get anything done.
No. Hold on a second, though. It actually is. There actually is a puritanistic furor to,
oh, okay.
to the
let's,
way
let's
the
redefine
media
puritanism.
In America
okay.
operates.
Let's redefine
not
puritanism.
Not necessarily
something
on sexual things.
Well, let's have a completely back. Let's have a new backwards definition of puritanism. It's like, yes, I understand. Like you're expected to be like a completely depraved individual in a certain way, but it's not puritanism.
That's not what I'm saying. No. The way that they talk about, you can't deny that. What's funny is in another context, everybody agrees with this. What remember that whole thing of like, oh, like the Puritan instinct has just been redirected by liberals or whatever. Like this is a classic critique that everybody has talked about, and the tabloid press absolutely whips up the moral furor, but only against selected targets. This isn't even really a controversial thing to talk about. And frankly, I'm skeptical of a tabloid press that whips up moral pure in certain cases, but not others. It's obvious that that's not really what's going on. There's something else going on. And what usually it is, like with Brock Turner, the actual moral pure was because he was white.
Right. That's because he was white. They found a white
it's
guy.
Because he was white.
We found a white rapist. Let's get him.
So are we saying that
Duke
sometimes
didn't
the
work
system
out.
just makes it, it's like, I'm not. I guess I don't understand what the critique here
well,
of that position
is. We've established there's like two layers. Like there is a common morality. There is the idea that you should not rape women.
Yes, that's everyone
not
agrees.
Don't be a sex pest. And then you have sort of like the funhouse world of the way the media and the elites handle it, which is
right.
The other problem is capricious. Like the other problem is like Danny Masterson and Russell Brand aren't like political avatars for anything.
Yes,
like there seems to be no broader point to bringing them down other than just bringing them down.
Yeah,
they don't really represent anything that's like substantial that I'm aware of. I guess maybe like Scientology. I don't know.
Well
there could be something with Scientology, but Brand also does represent like very retarded. I mean, the thing is, Jews aren't actually mad at Russell Brand.
Okay,
libtards are mad at him, right? Libtards are mad at Russell Brand, and so it's probably not going to go anywhere because Jews aren't mad at him.
So yeah,
probably won't go anywhere.
From what little I looked into that situation, it was even like what he did was objectively wrong and bad, but due to England,
I didn't look into it at all. I
really
don't know.
Retarded
just...
like standards of consent and stuff. I was like, well, I guess technically it was probably legal, even though when you look at it, you're like, Jesus, dude.
Well, again, I didn't even look
this
at
is
it
awful.
Because when I see Russell Brand, the idea of him as a sexual predator doesn't
right.
like.
I don't know.
It's
watched,
not something that surprises me, and I'm not.
I
also
video, Mark Collette responding to that. And I thought it was pretty good because he's talking about conservatives just love to flock to people like Andrew Tate and Russell Brand and all
yes.
these other characters.
Yes, this is actually a very good point. Is like why? Yes, and Dave Portnoy, frankly, Dave Portnoy is another example.
Somebody who's got money and power who doesn't need their advocacy. That's the one that they want to defend because they're fucking cowards. Now, if it was just some dude on the street, and we've seen it countless times, they'll immediately turn their backs to them.
Well,
if it's somebody
first of all,
who actually needs some sort of like defense because they're being unjustly,
well, yeah, nobody,
gone
nobody,
after,
nobody
like,
wanted to stick up for Brock Turner, but
well, not even that situation. Which
but,
is
yeah, but that's
messy.
An example.
But what about the eye roll kid? You know, or not the eye roll kid. The The situation with the
Indians. Oh, yeah, Nick Sandman.
Yeah. Sandman.
Yeah, they were fucking... Ben Shapiro, who doesn't need a social media campaign embarrassing him to stick up for Russell Brand, immediately came out and condemned Nick Sandman.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean that was an amazing thing to watch. Or even the situation where we had our self defense hero, like they were kind of sitting on the sidelines there for a bit, like I don't know, do we want to get behind this kid?
Where were they for Andrew Lester?
Nowhere, because that guy is old and he has no power and he has no money.
Well, they were long gone.
He shot a nigger.
They were long gone because the people that should have been backing up loved George Floyd. They all learned in 2020, like this is the way now.
Well, it's not even that they love George Floyd. They just don't. They're just. It's the same reason they defend Kyle Rittenhouse. They won't defend Andrew Lesser. We said Kyle Rittenhouse is lucky he didn't shoot a black person. I mean, again, this is why like I react negatively to to all the moral hypocrisy from the media, because like I just don't. No, like there's some other fucking shit going on with all of it. And this idea that like, yeah, we're going to all defend Kyle Rittenhouse, but Andrew Lester gets thrown under the bus. What's the principle? What's your principle, conservatives? What is it? Is the right to self-defense something you stand for or not? No, it's totally situational and it's dependent on whether or not it's politically what Jews want. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
And so it's there used to be a time. And one of the reasons that Jews hated the NRA and have actually now conquered it was because the NRA actually took a principled stance on guns, even regardless of whether – I mean, they don't anymore. But they would take a relatively principled stance on it regardless of who the subject of the thing was. Like they didn't – they weren't gauging – like there was a time when the NRA would have come to the defense of Andrew Lester. I don't think that they do. Jews actually managed to get a hold of it and capture that institution because – they felt like this is something that has too much power, too much money, too much ability to sway politics, and is actually entrenched on this position. And
I find it very interesting to notice that the left is more than happy to like prop up some total piece of trash, right, and rally behind them and to make them a martyr. You know, like look at what they did with George Floyd. What an utter.
Well, that wasn't really the left. That was just like Jewish media. The left just went along with it.
Yeah.
But dude, you know who's propping up Russell Brand is Dirtbag Left. So like the Dirtbag Left
hits close to home for them.
They're like, because that's essentially what Brand is. He's actually Dirtbag Left. That's really what he is.
Yeah, and they've got all the skeletons that are threatening someone in their own closet. So of course they're going to defend that guy.
Wait, didn't one of these fucking Chapo guys like hurt himself or something like that?
I think he OD'd and he's brain dead, isn't he?
He what?
Yeah, dude, one of the Chapo guys is in a coma, I think, from fentanyl.
That's not good.
Oh, really?
Borzo got a 12-hour ban on Twitter for making fun of him.
Okay, so Matt Christman hospitalized, taking short hiatus.
Let me see. Define short.
Well, I think
I didn't know
short.
They were even still doing that show.
Looks like they offered a different. Like they were doing something this year. What?
Yeah,
I'm not finding much on this. I guess they're keeping it kind
of
quiet.
Well, because no one really gives much of a fuck. Here's the thing. This is something else people need to get. Like the world of like social media and online stuff is increasingly bifurcating from the actual world. Like the amount of stuff like like online commentary, like YouTuber, influencer, Twitter and all that culture is like the real world is going like it's people just don't like people that aren't like a lot of people don't know about this and the media is not going to cover it because nobody cares anymore. Like, it's just not something that it matters. It only matters in these increasingly insular online communities. But in the online world, like, more people are just, like, out there just, like, celebrating the fact that this dude is brain dead or something like that.
So he's married. His wife is supposed to be, scheduled a delivery for Sunday? What do you mean scheduled delivery? Trash people. Anyway,
This guy, yeah, Matt. This guy, Matt Chrisman.
Supposedly, his wife is expected to have a kid in the coming days.
Was he overdosing on fent while his wife is about?
Yes, that's like a true paragon.
Just
of virtue.
Dirtbag left is the right way to describe these people.
This guy, Matt Chrisman. Some people are calling him Vegetable Matt. I would never call him that, but some people do. You should have seen him in the hospital bed. He was like, "Ugh, trans rights. Ugh." He's going, "Ugh, Bernie, save me."
That's pretty good. That's a good meme. The rumor that I saw was that like the fent was like sprinkled into the coke he was doing. I don't know.
Oh, so he was just a victim of impure drugs. Okay, bro.
It's just right. It was just a prank, bro. Where's my drops for that? Because I mean, they can't really deny that the prank was very funny.
It was just a prank.
The prank was very funny.
I put fentanyl in your cocaine.
The prank was very funny.
I didn't mean to.
It was just a prank. Oh, holy shit.
Oh, my God.
All right.
So,
dude, this is... You want to see, like, one of the worst takes ever. Oh, my God. So, somebody puts out there... somebody named Sam Adler Bell, who sounds like he might be Jewish, but Adler tends to make me think Jewish. But this guy says... Praying for Matt Chrisman, a kind, funny, and brilliant guy who has always been incredibly sweet to me. And the reply is from somebody who calls themselves the Notorious Seb. Hasn't been kind nor incredibly sweet to the victims of Syrian war crimes. But who cares about that?
Yeah. I was listening to some stuff from Reddit
Of all reasons to be mad at Chapo, it's like being mad for the wrong reason, because I'm assuming that they weren't in support of like NATO intervention in Syria, and I think that because I look at this guy's account and he's got a hashtag we are NAFO, meaning this might even be a fuck, this might not be a real person, this might be a bot. NAFO is like a bot social media campaign to boost Ukraine and NATO. And basically, yeah.
Oh, actually, one of the reasons they're getting raked on Twitter right now is because Chapo Trap House was, of course, having a lot of fun at the expense of people who were dying of COVID that were, like, unvaccinated or something. It's like, well, look at you. You're dying of a fucking fentanyl overdose.
Dude, everybody hates them. The worst reason to hate them is, like, they didn't support Syrian regime change. That's like the one person who like is actually a shittier person than Matt. It's like the one guy who's worse than him.
So this is what goes for a joke with these guys are supposed to be like the propped up like faggot version of our show, if you recall. So yeah. I guess this is the tweet everyone's mad at. Mustard gas in Syria. Did someone eat a hot dog with too much French's? I'm kidding. The real war crime is my dick balls and sociopathy.
Who's saying that?
That's aged very well.
That's his tweet.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Everyone is like saying, "Oh, you are making fun of Syrian war crime victims." Okay, and that's supposed to be like a really funny joke. Mustard gas in Syria? Did somebody eat a hot dog with too much French's? Okay.
That's not funny.
That was why I was bringing it up. Like, that's not funny. Like, you deserve to die for that. Like, do something funnier than that. Like, my chlorine barrel bombs jokes were way funnier about everybody having a clean pool in Syria. That was fucking... That's terrible. It's just not even... I mean, I don't mean terrible, like, morally. I just mean, like, that's just not funny. It's brutally unfunny. The real war crime is my dick balls and sociopathy. It's like, okay. It's not really a war crime. Yeah. It's just...
Why are you calling yourself a sociopath? Why should anybody agree with you?
Because I'm so dirtbag left, bro. That's the dirtbag part. Get it?
You probably are a sociopath. So, like...
I mean, yeah, that's sort of...
That seems to be the whole tone of this, though, is that this guy's sociopathic and he laughs at people who are dying or
right, well, if you make a living doing that...
Yeah, and then you end up in the hospital from.
Don't expect anybody to not fucking people are going to
dine out on it. Yeah, they're going to dine out on it. Like, just what you get, bro. You act like an asshole, and now people are being an asshole to you. Enjoy.
And you're not Jewish, so you get no protection.
I can't find any official articles discussing the overdose part. They're just calling it a sudden.
Yeah, they're just saying sudden medical emergency.
Medical emergency.
I guess the idea that it was an overdose is, I guess that's a rumor that's probably true. But
I'm going to assume that it's true.
It's probably true because what else would it be?
That he was abusing drugs, and that's what caused the severe sudden medical emergency.
Like, well, what would it be? Because if it was like a vehicle accident, you would know about that, right?
If he was hit by a car or something like that,
let's be honest, when something like this happens and they don't tell you what happened, it's drugs. Yeah. When someone dies suddenly and the family doesn't tell you what happened, the media keeps it's just drugs. Someone died of a drug overdose. Like, you can always be sure of it.
So Borzoi got a timeout for
we're making fun of him with a Joker
having meme. a little laugh, a little chuckle.
Yep, 12-hour boo box.
I thought that is that like still a rule? Like, you can't make fun of people or something? I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, no one actually knows. In terms of what are the rules? Like, what are the rules on Elon Musk's Twitter? Like,
I mean,
actually,
is Borzoi what the fuck making are they? Fun of him going to make Matt Crisman's hypoxic brain injury worse? Probably not.
No,
I think that ship has sailed, my friend.
But also,
he posted the Joker. Knock, knock. Who's there? It's Chapo Trap House, sir. Matt Crisman had a stroke. He's dead. And it's the Joker. Apparently you're not allowed to celebrate that. I don't know.
But there's people all over the place celebrating it, so why is Borzoi being targeted?
I don't know.
Is it targeted?
And got reported, I guess.
Yes. Probably what it is.
A-log.
But I don't really see anybody sticking up for him. That's what's remarkable. Like, nobody's sticking up for him.
You get to be dirtbag left, and then you...
But I wanted to say something about this Dave Portnoy thing. This was kind of a shitty segment we've done, but whatever. The thing about this is, I don't even really blame like conservatives. Like, there's a media push here. Like, I'm looking at it's on the Daily Mail. It's on Barstool Sports. It's on Fox News. It's basically, and a number of other like smaller sites that are probably conservative leaning, but it's sort of like, is this even like, you know, right-wing people, this is what they see and this is what's in front of them. And it's like, you know, the pearl clutching of these two libtards, not backed up by any power. It's like libtards. I don't know. It's like, I just, the whole, this annoys me. Like, just like the woman, I forget her name, the one that went after Libs of TikTok, how much that annoyed me, because they handed like this massive W to this obvious like Jew fucking interloper, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, none of the situations, like, I can tell you right now that's not going to work, and that she has full immunity.
Right. And I wonder, if are these libtards' heads left spinning because like they don't, like they just don't know what the actual shot is? They must not. They must not know what the actual shot is.
Like,
if they thought they could go to these pizzerias and say, you know, Dave Portnoy had allegations of sexual misconduct against him, and that was going to do anything, or that they were going to, what, teach a lesson on misogyny, and that was going to do something? I mean...
I guess they were hoping to embarrass the guy, and it didn't work. I mean,
they wanted basically... To do a thing where he's doing a thing. He's doing his business, his media business. He's boosting his fucking stupid dirtbag sports fan. I drink beer and I'm a scumbag and I look at tits, like that stupid fucking crap. Except with like a Jewish twist. He's boosting that. And also, look at me. I'm fighting Wall Street, the big guys on Wall Street, so us little guys can buy stonks. Like, he's doing all that. Like, every cultural phenomena this guy promotes is trash. Like, this is what basically Dave Portnoy and his audience is, like, the kind of trash they're trying to turn like white right wing young people into. It's just garbage. And also Jews have a history of doing this. Like, this is not like a new strategy. Like, Howard Stern sort of paved the way for this kind of thing. And then they just, you know, like all the attempts, all the sort of pearl clutching libtard attempts to shut down Stern only boosted him too. That was sort of an earlier example, but
I made the mistake of like going to Twitter and looking at the ADL's page, you know, after mentioning the banned ADL campaign.
It's like,
just fucking ban these guys. Why is it so hard?
What they're doing now, what they're doing
now. And then
you
look at their tweets, man, and they're protected. It's not even like this is a place where the ADL is engaging with an audience. They're not. They're not doing engagement. They're just here bragging about shit that they've done to people.
Well, again, if Twitter led to actual political power, the ADL would be the least powerful organization in the world because everybody hates them. So the other thing that they're doing is the other thing Jews are trying to shut down is this Palestine Writers Association meeting at University of Pennsylvania. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is something. So, you know, this is actually kind of, I think, important because, you know, remember when Richard Spencer was going to colleges and people tried to shut it down and they couldn't. And they couldn't because it's a publicly funded institution. They have to respect the First Amendment, right? It seems like Jews are trying to get that kind of thing thrown out to the extent that it already wasn't a fucking dead letter, right?
Letter. I've got the tweet here from Jonathan Greenblatt. He says, yesterday, the state of PA issued a cease and desist letter to the organizers of the Palestine Rights Festival for their unauthorized use of a state logo, falsely claiming sponsorship. No surprise. Thanks to Governor Shapiro for your swift action and courageous leadership in standing up against hate.
What's courageous about that?
Thank you, Jewish governor, for promoting our Jewish causes.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. A Gentile governor would have done the same thing. Yeah.
Because they would have already been in his house having meetings with him. Because that's the other thing is if you go to their page and you just look at their content, the ADL is basically just posting their W's everywhere, and it's just them going to various countries and browbeating people into signing certain concessions to them. It's really staggering. It's evil.
Right. I think they're trying to get Roger Waters thrown out. He was banned. I got this New York Post, which of course here again, New York Post now is all about the censorship, right? They're promoting it because of anti-Semitism. So yes, Pink Floyd co-founder Roger Waters was banned from speaking on the University of Pennsylvania campus amid allegation of anti-Semitism for him wearing a Nazi-inspired uniform and displaying Nazi imagery at a Berlin concert. Well, why should that have anything to do with why he would be banned from an American college campus? Now, I'm trying to find out if he was banned by the university or if he was banned by if the conference itself capitulated and banned him.
Yeah, I was looking at the coverage of this. It's like you've got all of the Jewish publications, of course, are being extremely critical. But interestingly, it's like the local news media has different take on this situation. Like they're
really that's interesting. Yeah. The 80-year-old singer-songwriter was set to appear at a panel discussion for the Palestine Writers Literature Festival Saturday, but after landing in the Keystone State, he posted a video on Instagram saying he'd been told he would instead appear via Zoom. So I'm guessing
Mondo.
He actually was told he's banned from the arena and the organizers. So it wasn't the organizers that capitulated. The university said Roger Waters is not allowed. That's actually atrocious. That's bad. That he wasn't allowed. That's ridiculous. You can't go into it's a state. What's funny is the National Review put out an opinion that I read this morning that like because it's funded by the state, he shouldn't be allowed. So think about where they're going with this now.
It's fascinating to me that like college students having like some sort of stupid little literature festival is treated the same way that they would treat a neo-Nazi gathering like outside a synagogue.
Well, The reason is because literature festivals at places like University of Pennsylvania are where people who are going to become a new elite class are being cultivated.
Yeah.
And that's why, right? They don't, and this is something that's been a thorn in the side of Jews for a while, is that there just isn't consensus on the liberal side of the spectrum who are the people that they cultivate to be the elites and functionaries and managers in their system. There isn't a consensus, particularly not at the educational level, at the university level, on Palestine. Because the problem is every single lesson that they teach about white people, about colonialism, about racism, all that stuff, all of it applies 10 times to Israel. And it's hard for people to overlook that. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, then, we're talking about how useless, like, particularly a certain style, which we call boomer conservatives, but can be somebody of any age, although it is sort of tilted towards that age demographic, how useless they are, because they then support Israel because of all, they're literally like, yeah, no, I like the bad things it does. And it's just like, okay. But
looks like the faculty is behind the Palestinians here.
That's a problem that Jews are not going to be, that's a problem that they're having. And so is that, these people are motivated oftentimes on an intellectual, ideological level. Now they're brutally anti-white, of course, many of them, not all, but many. But this sort of thing, it's like what Israel doesn't like is that in these kind of narratives, they have been classed as a settler colonial state, as a racist state. And that's I can understand why that is. And they simply want an exception carved out because they're Jewish, but there's no rigorous intellectual case as to why there should be just because you're Jewish. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, though, while you're going to get the faculty of the university, and universities are these closed little systems where that kind of thing really matters, but there's no one in the liberal media that is sticking up for them.
I think that they've maybe overstepped themselves a little bit, because I see some of the English comparative literature professor Max Kavich said that he signed the letter to support the free discussion literature of all people and expressed his point. What he said was McGill's failure to meet responsibilities as a steward of Penn's intellectual and societal mission. So whoever is in charge of the college had some kind of statement that came out where they were effective.
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
Being critical of this event.
Yes.
The faculty's revolted. This guy says, as a Jewish man myself, I find McGill's vague insinuations of anti-Semitism both disingenuous and harmful to Penn's national and international reputation.
Right. Well, what that Jew is worried about is that if it appears that all Jews are united in this attack on this Palestine Literature Festival and effectively on free speech and the free expression of ideas on campuses, that these intellectuals will turn on Jews as a group. So he needs to be out there as a Jew who is like, but see that he can rest easy, though, that, the problem is, though, that the Palestinians are having and white people have just no chance. Like, would this Jew have the same view if we tried to have like a European, like a white European something? They would argue, be like, oh, everything is a white European. It's like, well, then why can't we just have it? Right?
Yeah.
And so
he added that it seemed as though administrators were being influenced by one of these two communities at the expense of the other.
Wait, what are the two communities?
Palestinians and Jews.
Oh, okay. I thought he was talking about two sides of the Jewish community.
No, well, maybe.
But it's one thing that's important to understand for our audience is that the liberal Jewish opposition to this sort of thing, it's not necessarily that it isn't genuine, because some of these old crusty Marxist intellectual Jews might believe this, right? They might think so. But that side is equally as powerless to affect any policy as anything else. Assuming it's, and I don't even assume that they're being honest. Like, they could very well just be that this guy is like, I can't have all the other activists and intellectuals on this campus see Jews in lockstep. And of course, the students are also going to support the thing that appears to be being suppressed by powerful forces from outside.
Yeah, well, I mean, it looks like one of the problems you run into here as well from an institutional point of view is like trying to straddle this situation, because I'm reading their statement right now. It's like trying to cover both bases.
Yeah.
You look stupid, and people are so ideological that they're going to get mad when you do that.
Yeah, yeah. No one's happy. Like, that's the thing. Like, the statement that they put out left nobody happy. And so the right, for lack of a better way of putting it, is going after them hard for their both sides-ism, right? Which, again, that's also something that the Palestinian and their supporters and their sympathizers will say going the other way. What's interesting to me is that this is a nut that Jews are having trouble cracking. This is a nut they're having trouble cracking.
So there's two paragraphs in the statement. The second paragraph is them frantically trying to cover themselves because they're allegedly going to be some speakers who are anti-Semitic. Says, while the festival featured more than 100 speakers, many have raised deep concerns about several speakers who have a documented troubling history of engaging anti-Semitism by speaking and acting in ways that denigrate Jewish people. We unequivocally and emphatically condemn anti-Semitism as antithetical to our institutional values. As a university, we also fiercely support the free exchange of ideas as central to our educational mission. Yeah, nobody's going to be happy with that. It's like, so... is anti-Semitism part of the free exchange of ideas? Now Jews are going to be mad. And then, of course, Palestinians are like, well, why is it we can have a festival without somebody screeching about us being anti-Semitic?
Well, yeah, that's obvious. But the thing is that, yes, what they're going – when you talk about they're trying to suppress the free exchange of ideas, Jews are going to be immediately like anti-Semitism – shouldn't be part of the free exchange of ideas, right? That's what it's like. Sure, it should. I mean, anti-white shit is constantly. You know, frankly, things that are considered racism should be part of the free exchange of ideas. Yeah. But, you know, Mark Lamont Hill is another person. Now, they're attacking – the thing is, what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, like, it's not that you can't have something that's for Palestinians. It's just that everybody there is an anti-Semite. And it's like, okay, so again, how do you have something for Palestinians without having people who don't like Jews there? Well, you can't. Like, you can't. So, like, in reality, you just can't. And, of course, you know, Roger Waters, that's interesting that it appears that the state actually banned this artist from entering their arena, which is wild. Mark Lamont Hill was also going there. And then there's a number of Arab people with Arab names who I haven't heard of that the Jews are alleging have written anti-Semitic books. Now, there's another book. This is fucking ridiculous. There's another book Jews are going after. And it was written by some Iranian woman. And here's something I would say. This is some place where I think Jews are actually like scoring wins, although it might not be obvious. This Iranian woman is like a queer theorist, and she wrote a book called The Right to Maim. And it's basically I read a thing on it this morning. I obviously didn't read the book, but it's basically it's like a transgender rights. Let me read. Let's just read. Okay. This is published by Duke University Press. It's by a woman her name is Jasbir K. Huar. I think she's of Iranian descent, but I could be wrong about that. This is The Right to Maim, Debility, Capacity, Disability. In The Right to Maim, Jasbir K. Huar brings her pathbreaking work on the liberal state sexuality and biopolitics to bear on our understanding of disability. Drawing on a stunning array of theoretical and methodological frameworks, this is postmodern crap, Puar uses the concept of debility, bodily injury, and social exclusion brought on by economic and political factors to disrupt the category of disability. This is how you know this is like some postmodernistic ball fanning shit, right? She shows how debility, disability, and capacity together constitute an assemblage that states use to control populations. Pouar's analysis.
That's like just fucking basic bitch like Michel Foucault analysis there.
Well, yes, they actually...
We put you in a category into a box and then we control you by...
Yeah, Foucault is mentioned in some of it. Like, people are saying it's like a brilliant rethinking of Foucault and all that stuff. But anyway, but here we go. Pouar's analysis culminates in an interrogation of Israel's policies towards Palestine, in which he outlined... Now, this is something that would be an interesting thing to explore, but when you wrap it in these... trappings, when you take these things that she's saying and you wrap it in this dressing and then you attach like the tranny and the queer ideology to it, which she also brings in here, you're just turning it into a flaming pile of trash and you're making nobody want to fucking touch it except for, like, frankly, up their own ass intellectuals. She outlines how Israel brings Palestinians into a biopolitical being by designating them available for injury.
What?
What that means is they're an enemy population and the Israelis attack and hurt them, which is not something that needs to be, which is a pretty obvious concept and not something that needs to be wrapped in this fucking intellectual.
Doesn't need to be obfuscated, yeah.
Yeah, why are you putting this obvious relationship between two enemy groups? One of which is vastly more powerful into this postmodernistic, like, bullshit rapping, you know, like, because it's like you're just making it harder to understand. It's pretty easy. Anybody can look at it. I don't need your analysis to see. Yes, Israel attacks, kills and wounds Palestinians with impunity. Yes, that is anybody can see that. I don't need this theoretical framework for that.
Right.
Right. Supplementing its right to kill with what Pouar calls the right to maim, the Israeli state relies on liberal frameworks. Now, this could be sort of interesting. The Israeli state relies on liberal frameworks of disability to obscure and enable the mass debilitation of Palestinian bodies.
I'm debilitating my body.
I don't understand tracing disability's interaction with debility and capacity. Pouar offers a brilliant rethinking of Foucauldian biopolitics while showing how disability functions at the intersection of imperialism and racialized capital. The Palestinians really don't need this kind of help, frankly. Like, it's like, I'm helping. It's like, no, you're and I think this is also something that Jews are interested in doing, is locating to the extent Palestinian, and because of course she's a professor of women's and gender studies, excuse me, at Rutgers University, and the author of Terrorist Assemblages, Homo Nationalism in Queer Times.
Homo Nationalism? I think I know some people who practice that.
I mean, yeah, but I don't think that's what she's talking about. She's not talking about Ukraine. I don't think that's what she's talking about. Okay, so here's the table of contents of this book. This is what I'm saying. Palestinians, this doesn't help them. Introduction, the cost of getting better. One, bodies with new organs, becoming trans, becoming disabled. Okay. Right. Crip nationalism, from narrative prosthesis to disaster capitalism.
And now you're just like throwing out buzz phrases from
right. This is literally
like
just
top
the
left over the last 20.
Well, this
years.
Yeah, this is like this could have been generated by that AI. Remember that postmodernism generator, which wasn't really a true AI. It was just like a Mad Lib. Yeah. You know, like it's pretty easy to program a Mad Lib. Like that's a fairly easy thing to do. As long as it gets funnier the more terms you put into your list of words that can pop into this particular space, but Three, disabled diaspora, rehabilitating state, the queer politics of reproduction in Palestine/Israel. And then chapter four is Will Not Let Die, debilitation and inhuman biopolitics in Palestine. It's like,
I think the other problem with this too is it sort of like reifies whatever institutional structures are at play instead of just stating things simply and being like,
yes,
look.
Yes, absolutely.
They're under the boot of a foreign enemy.
Right.
Destroy the enemy. It's not like this institutional framework that's doing this to them is set in stone and there's not.
No, why do you try? Like, it's like, why do we need to? In a way, it's sort of like having a. So again, Jews aren't able to recruit, say, liberal academics to shut down the Palestinian Writers Festival at University of Pennsylvania. Okay. Because that looks a little bit too much like racism. It looks a little bit too much like colonialism. It looks a little bit too much like white supremacy or whatever, right? Like all the things that they have trained these academics and these intellectuals to be against for all of these years. And this is the problem, is just the cognitive dissonance between that ideology and what Israel does. So what they can do, though, is get the Palestine Writers Festival to have a bunch of books like this, which effectively makes it retarded. So, and what's funny is, I have more on this that we can do next hour because we're coming up against the hour. But the final sort of, not the final thought, but just a parting thought on this is, if you can't shut down the Palestine Writers Festival, make sure it's a bunch of dumbass books like this.
Yeah.
Rather than just like, Israel is trying to destroy the Palestinians because they want their land. Like, if you just wrote a book saying that, even the Palestine Writers Festival would be like, whoa, hey, because that's just the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, all this shit reifying the fucking repudiative, the state, this biopolitics, shut up. Like, what are you talking about?
My final thought of the hour is I was looking at Twitter. I was looking at the ADL page, and I looked at Syrian Girl's page. Syrian Girl absolutely crushes them in terms of, like, engagement, likes.
I remember her.
Hey, are you still listening? You should get behind the paywall. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and get yourself a subscription.
Everything.
Yeah.
I should refollow. Like,
why is this little nothing page, this ADL page, why don't you just ban it? Oh, because they have total fucking control of power.
Power doesn't come from a Twitter account.
Yeah, this is literally the most reviled Twitter account in human history. And we can't ban it. We can't do anything about it. Oh, hands are tied.
Well, they could have banned it if we had participated.
In the hashtag,
we screwed it up again.
Yeah.
Kingmakers. Anyway, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Bidenomics, right?
I got a little bit more on this.
Okay.
On this stupid shit.
More on this, and then
so a little bit.
I can't wait to hear about Bidenomics. Let's go, Brandon. Oh,
yeah.
What did I do? I want a mulligan on that. Just pretend that didn't happen yet, because I don't know what happened.
What happened?
I went to hit the end of the hour bumper, and the volume was really low. So I'm just pretending it didn't happen. Now I'm going to turn it up so we can hear it in all its glory, because it's the Alexander David Gahan's one. All right, Jordan Gahan's.
Oh man.
So, I'm going to make sure we hear it. All right, we'll be right back.
You are listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're going to offend you, isn't it funny? La, 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 la.